All right, good morning, everybody. Just wanted to get up here real quick. You know, it's not every Saturday we have young men up here willing to bring the word to you. My name is John. I'm not the young man who's bringing you the word. I'm definitely not young anymore. This is my son, John Jr. here. I'm definitely a member at First Family Church and an elder in training. But the Lord has brought this young man to faith, and he wants to give you the message on why some of you that are here need the Lord Jesus Christ and need to fly from your sin to him in faith before the wrath that comes when you die. If you don't have Christ, there's an eternal punishment. So he wants to talk to you about that. So I'm going to let John Jr. come up here today. But first, I definitely would like to pray for my son and get so he can bring you this message. Let's pray. Father, thank you for my son. Thank you for his willingness to come up here and to preach the gospel. Give him strength, give him power, open ears, and we pray that you would regenerate people through your means of your good news, Father. We pray that it will be proclaimed here today with power and with strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. Forgive me if I seem a bit nervous today, because I am. First time I've been up here. But I believe that the Lord has called me to do this, so I will continue to do so. The fallen condition of humanity lies at the heart of theology, underscoring the profound impact of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. According to the scriptures, all humans inherit a sinful nature from their first parents, leading to a state of spiritual separation from the holy and righteousness of God. Now, what I'm referring to is the original sin. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, disobeyed God's order to not eat the fruit of one tree. They ate that fruit and brought sin into the world. Romans 3:23 unequivocally states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, leaving no room for exception." This universal reality paints a sobering picture of humanity's desperate need for divine intervention to cross the unbridgeable gap between sinful humanity and a holy God. The fallen state of humanity is a result of God's sovereignty and his purposeful plan. While God did cause Adam and Eve to sin, he permitted their fall, and in his infinite wisdom, he ordained it to bring about his redemptive plan. This view upholds both the sovereignty of God in permitting the fall and humanity's responsibility for their actions. The fallen condition leaves humanity utterly incapable of earning or achieving salvation through their own merit. It is only through God's unmerited grace that anyone can be rescued from this state of depravity. The gospel's message of hope and redemption finds its roots in this acknowledgement of humanity's fallenness, demonstrating God's unfathomable love in providing a means of reconciliation through the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ's redemptive work is not merely an offer to all, but specifically intended for those whom God has chosen for salvation. This concept of limited atonement asserts that Jesus' sacrifice was efficacious for the elect, securing their salvation and providing the means for their justification before God. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ becomes the centerpiece of God's sovereign plan for salvation. Jesus, being the perfect and blameless Lamb of God, willingly bore the punishment for our sins, reconciling humanity with God. Romans 5:8 beautifully portrays God's love for us, as Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This profound act of love and sacrifice serves as the ultimate expression for God's sovereignty over salvation. The process of salvation involves the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the elect. The Holy Spirit irresistibly draws the chosen ones to Christ, regenerating their hearts and enabling them to respond in faith. This transformative process is evidence of God's sovereign power working within the hearts of his chosen ones, aligning them with his will and enabling them to live a life pleasing to him. Justification through faith is a foundational concept in the understanding of salvation. It highlights the profound truth of how we are made right before God. It teaches that our right standing with God does not come from any of our own efforts or good deeds. It is nothing that we do, no work on our parts, but rather through putting our trust and belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
This belief in justification through faith emphasizes the doctrine of total depravity and unconditional election. Total depravity asserts that all humans are born in a state of sin and cannot choose God on their own. Unconditional election affirms that God, in his sovereignty, chooses certain individuals for salvation without any consideration of their merit or their works. When we come to realize our sinful nature and acknowledge our need for a Savior, we humbly accept Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross as the means of forgiveness for our sins. This act of faith, in which we trust in Christ's work and not our own merit, not our own works, is what justifies us here before God.
Amen.
It is like receiving a gift. We don't earn it, but we just gratefully accept it. Nothing done on our part.
Amen.
Through this simplest act of faith, God declares us righteous and pardons us from the penalty of sin. It is a divine exchange where Jesus takes our sin upon himself and gives us his righteousness, granting us a restored relationship with God. This beautiful concept of justification through faith showcases the depth of God's grace and love for humanity. In this view, it is God who takes the initiative to save us, and we respond by placing our faith in him. This perspective underscores the truth that we cannot earn our salvation through good works or religious rituals, but it is entirely a gift from God. As we trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross, we are made right with God. Not by our efforts to be perfect, but by embracing the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf.
Amen.
Regeneration and transformation bring about the profound changes in the lives of believers. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, a miraculous process begins within them. This process, initiated by the Holy Spirit, is like being spiritually born again. The old self is cast off, and the new identity in Christ is born. The transformation takes place at the core of one's being, renewing the heart and mind. As a result, the believer is no longer bound by their sinful nature, but are empowered to live according to God's will.
Amen.
Regeneration is an act of God's sovereign will. It is the Holy Spirit who effectively calls and regenerates the hearts of the elect, enabling them to respond to the gospel message with repentance and faith. This understanding emphasizes the doctrine of irresistible grace, asserting that those whom God has chosen for salvation cannot resist the transformation, the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. If you are called, you cannot refuse. This transformative work enables believers to break free of the shackles from sin and embrace a life that honors God. This journey of transformation is not a one-time event, but a lifelong process. The Holy Spirit continuously works within believers, shaping their character and molding them to be more like Christ. It involves yielding to God's guidance, prayerfully seeking his wisdom, and immersing oneself in the Word. The process may involve challenges and setbacks. You won't get a straight line, a handed to you path. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, believers are enabled to grow and to overcome. This transformation is not about striving to earn God's favor, but living out of gratitude for the gift of salvation received by faith. As believers submit to God's leading and actively cooperate with the Holy Spirit, they experience a deepening love for God, a growing desire to serve others, and a gradual victory over sinful habits. Regeneration and transformation, therefore, bring about a profound and life-changing journey for every believer, leading them to a closer relationship with God and a life marked by his grace and righteousness. Rejecting the gospel, however, bears profound consequences for those who choose to turn away from the message of hope and redemption found in Jesus Christ. The gospel serves as a bridge that reconciles humanity with God, offering the assurance of eternal life in his presence. However, those who reject this divine offer remain estranged from God and burdened by the weight of their sins. Without the transformative power of the gospel, individuals cannot overcome their inherently sinful nature, leading to a life devoid of true peace, joy, and purpose. The significance of the gospel is further underscored by the belief in the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. This doctrine teaches that those who are truly elect, chosen by God for salvation, will persevere in their faith until the end. It is not possible for a true believer to completely and permanently fall away from the faith, as the Holy Spirit continually sustains and preserves them. This understanding provides assurance to believers that their salvation is secure, not based on their own strength, but on God's faithfulness to complete the work he began in them. God's sovereignty extends not only to the initial act of salvation, but also to the ongoing preservation and sanctification of believers. God's grace is sufficient to carry through them every trial and temptation, molding them into the image of Christ. The journey of faith becomes a steadfast walk with God, marked by trust, obedience, and reliance on his power. This view of God's sovereignty also emphasizes the doctrine of eternal security or perseverance of the saints. Once an individual has been genuinely saved, they can have a confidence that God will keep them secure in his love and complete the good work he began in them. This assurance is not a license to sin, however, but rather a motivation to live a life that honors God out of gratitude for his saving grace. The hope of eternal life is grounded in God's eternal decree and purposes. It teaches that God and his sovereignty chose individuals for salvation before the foundation of the world. Before the earth was created, when there was just darkness, nothingness, he chose us before everything. This doctrine of unconditional election asserts that God's choice was not based on anything in the individuals themselves, but solely on his sovereign will. In the view of eternal life, God's plan for salvation encompasses the entire life of the believer, from regeneration to glorification. The journey of faith is not a solitary endeavor, but a continuous process of being conformed to the image of Christ. As believers walk in obedience to God's word and rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance, they are being sanctified and prepared for the eternal glory that waits for them. The hope of eternal life is a great source of comfort and assurance for believers. It transcends the temporal limitations of this world, offering a perspective that focuses on the eternal rather than the fleeting. This hope sustains believers through life's trials and challenges, assuring them that their ultimate reward awaits them beyond the boundaries of this earthly life. God's sovereignty in every aspect of salvation, from the fallenness of humanity to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and from regeneration and transformation to the hope of eternal life, God's sovereign plan is evident. Salvation is a divine work, initiated and completed by God's grace alone. Amen. This understanding brings profound comfort, assurance, and hope to believers, inspiring them to live a life that honors God, shares his gospel passionately, and eagerly awaits the fulfillment of his eternal promise.